Well, a wonderful friend of this network and somebody who has been featured on this network for many, many years is here in our TNX studio this morning. Let me start with what's happening with us today, and then we'll get to what's happening with the big event that's happening November the 12th. First of all, regarding today at 10 a.m. this morning here on the Nahum Segal Network, Allison Josephs, Jew in the City, is going to be speaking with Peter Himmelman. And many of you know his connection to popular culture, Hollywood, etc. And he is Allison's guest later on this morning here on the Nahum Segal Network. And we'll start with that. Allison Josephs, a pleasure to welcome you back to JM in the AM.
So great to be here.
What did you think of the Peter Himmelman conversation?
He's a cool guy. He has an interesting story. He's very deep. And, you know, there's some interesting folks in the entertainment world. They don't always, their journeys don't always lead to the best places, but I think there's a lot of seekers there. And Peter is one of those people who, that seeking that he had led him to Torah and Yiddishkeit. So it's a beautiful story.
When, and I'm asking this generally, not about him, but when you experience or when you become aware of those who've experienced some type of change like you just described, more faith-based, finding an answer to what they've been seeking, et cetera, does it change their attitude toward Hollywood, this country, the direction we're going in politically? Does it make a change all around, or is it really exclusively a spiritual change?
I mean, I think I've seen a lot of Bali Tshuva that have political change afterwards, but you know, one thing that I can say for sure is, you know, my relationship with Mayim Bialik after we started learning and, you know, she became more observant and more connected to Hashem. She definitely saw her platform as something that she had an achrayus to use for, you know, to serve Hashem. And it was actually one of the first questions I asked her when we started learning in Partners in Torah. Why do you think God made you famous? Lots of us wanted their own show, like me. And she didn't tell me this, but the question apparently had like eaten at her for years. But she was
why she was put in that position.
Yeah, and the thing is that my joke is that I met her. I didn't meet her before she was famous, but I met her before she was famous again because right. I sort of met her in that lull when she was sort of in that has-been state when Blossom was off the air for about a decade, and we got connected through Partners in Torah to learn. And as this question was percolating in her mind, what was the purpose of this fame? But she didn't really have a platform again. Suddenly she tries out for the Big Bang Theory, and a character that's meant to be on the show one time right. becomes a series regular, a beloved character, many Emmy nominations. And then she was using that platform to talk about mikvah and Shabbos and Tznius and Hafreshes Challah. I mean, nobody's talking about Hafreshes Challah.
And Israel.
And Israel, yes.
Has she suffered for her stance regarding Israel?
Every celebrity that talks about Israel suffers, and you'll see there are some...
Do they get work? Do they suffer professionally?
I think that some of them do. You know, many of them are still working, and some of them, I think, suffer. What I've heard about some of the celebrities that you saw maybe that were more active at the beginning and have gone more quiet now... Right. The buzz behind the scenes is what I've heard is that they've been bullied into silence, essentially. So there are some, Mayim is one of them, who continues, and Emmanuel Shrieky continues to speak out, and Patricia Heaton, the people that we're going to be having at an upcoming event are some of the people that continue to speak out. But
well, it's one of the reasons you felt the need to recognize them.
Exactly, exactly.
And I don't remember, but is the theory that... she was removed from Jeopardy because of her backing of Israel, or one had nothing to do with the other?
I mean, I don't think I can speak on that on the right. record right now.
But were there rumors like that? I just don't remember if that was like a thing in the press.
Yeah, I mean, there may be rumors, but I can't confirm or deny right. them. But yeah, I mean, I think...
Let's put it this way. You wouldn't be surprised if someone who's in a position like that is removed or action is taken because of their public position on Israel.
Let me tell you something more general, not about mm-hmm. one of my friends, is that there's a boycott on Israeli filmmakers in basically all the film festivals. One of the questions they ask you is where you were born. And so they have a very easy way to just pull out the Israeli filmmakers. And the other message we're hearing is that really anything that is Israel related is radioactive right now, just in the entertainment
industry. I mean, there are
industry.
Film festivals all the time. the calendar is filled with them, international film festivals.
And what you're going to be seeing in the coming years now is an exclusion of many Israeli filmmakers. This is something that it's very concerning to some of the, you know, kind of most powerful people that I'm in touch with in the entertainment industry, basically icing them out.
Allison Josephs is here. We're going to get to the event in a second. This is partially a question regarding the event because, as you said, Paramount's going to be recognized that night. Why did they take the risk of releasing a film about October the 7th and the Nova Festival when, again, it would be much easier for a Hollywood entity to just ignore this whole thing?
Look, I think Sherry Redstone, who spoke out recently defending the journalist that spoke out against Ta-Nehisi Coates, is a strong and proud Jew, and I think her leadership led to a lot of that decision. But I think that there's other people in the studio that have the moral courage to do that.
Will it hurt them or her down the road?
I hope not. Those who bless Israel will be blessed. Right. So I'm hoping that it will help ultimately. But yeah, it's having the guts to stand up in a time when most people are not staying silent or, you know, going against Israel. It means a lot. It's one of the reasons why we want to recognize this film, not just the filmmaker who is excellent, but the film, the studio that gave it the platform, because the best film that nobody sees is just something that nobody sees. So it right. does need the platform.
So anytime a performer, musical performer on stage recognizes the horror of October 7th, anytime that somebody in Hollywood, through some of the examples you cited and others, you know, discusses what happened and how horrific it was, we don't realize how much of a leap they're taking, how much, I don't want to say risk, but how brave or how courageous they are in doing that.
It is for sure brave and courageous. They are going against the grain. I think the most devastating thing about all this, and I really think our devastation is meant to draw us back to our Father in Heaven. We went through the last several years, all of these movements of equality and standing for the people that were hurt. And Jews, in most cases, marched with all these other groups and stood shoulder to shoulder. And now in our time of great devastation and pain, and October 7th is nothing compared in terms of quantity and devastation. Right. You know, it's our time now and we stand alone. And I think ultimately, that's what Hashem wants to happen, so that we look around. Like, I've made a video about this, but if anybody watches Shark Tank, all roads lead back to Mr. Wonderful. Right. I think that these different roads and avenues that we felt so comfortable in are closing down, so that we say we only have one place, one road, and it's to you, Hashem.
As we've said here for 40 years, the future of the Jewish people is in the state of Israel. And as you point out, obviously with God watching and directing us, your event is coming up on the 12th of November. It is a different event than if October 7th would not have happened. I mean, just the fact that Paramount has this type of feature film that you're recognizing, that's the obvious part. That wouldn't have happened if there was no October 7th. But in general, I would think that your work as Jew in the city has pivoted, altered, moved somewhat because of what happened in Israel a year ago.
Yeah, so let me just run you back on the structural changes of our organization and then sort of where we are in terms of October 7th.
Sure.
So we had Jew in the City, which was this social media movement started in, the first video was made in 2005, trying to change the narrative about Orthodox Jews. I was raised to hate Orthodox Jews. I saw most media said bad things about Orthodox Jews, and suddenly information was becoming democratized. And there was this place called YouTube, and then Facebook, and then Twitter, and then Instagram. And so we used those platforms to change the narrative about what Orthodox means. From that original content creation came a lot of angry ex-Hasidic and Haredi Jews saying all these bright, rosy takes on Orthodoxy is a lie. It's horrible to be a religious Jew. You're the worst. But then a couple approached me at a Kiruv talk I was giving at Rockland Community College, and they had been following and said, we want to join a community like yours. Can you help us? And that was sort of a shocking question. But out of that initial inquiry came something that we were originally calling Project Makom.
Right. And like yours means more modern, educated, certainly keeping all of Jewish ritual, etc., but not with some of the baggage that came with where they were from.
That's what I thought originally. What we've come to see over time with Makom is that it's really about people finding a healthy path in Judaism. Some of our members stay Hasidic and Haredi.
Oh, wow.
We're just helping them separate the dysfunction and abuse from Torah. Here's the thing. Toxic people ruin whatever they touch. So if you are raised in a toxic family or have toxic rebbes or teachers or rabbis, then everything that you, that they do or you perceive from them is going to be a negative, unhealthy thing.
Right.
When we can move them into more healthy communities and teach them more healthy approaches, suddenly it's not Judaism that's hurting them. They can see the two things separately. From Macom, the negative feedback that we got from the members, how they suffered, became a list that I started keeping, basically for my own mental health, with different ways they were abused in school, in the home. This then became our Tikkun branch. What we realized is that the things that pushed the Macom members out were the same things that made the negative headlines. It was Jews falling short of Torah standards. And so the idea was behind the scenes to work with leadership to try to move the needle and make things healthier. So in our Tikkun branch, our first project that we're in the middle of right now in partnership with Debbie Fox of Magen Yeladim, we've created policies and procedures. Debbie did, let me say that, that are for the Haredi community to basically bring into schools and help them operate with a more professional type of governance so they understand day-to-day about boundaries, about codes of conduct. And then if, God forbid, there's some emergency that happens, they'll also have protocols for best practices about what to do next as opposed to sweeping things under the rug. So sort of a better standard to begin with and then how to handle the problems. So we're testing this policy out now this year in 5 schools. So that's the overview. And then our Jew in the City piece then became Keter. Right. So we became Keter, Makom, and Tikkun.
Keter means crown.
Crown. And then to restore the crown of the good name. And then what happened within Keter is that in 2021, we discovered that every other minority group but Jews had been advocating formally to Hollywood for decades through the NAACP Hollywood Bureau that's 70 years old, the GLAAD Hollywood Bureau, the Muslim PAC Hollywood Bureau, and all of their representation has been getting better because they've had concerted advocacy efforts. No one ever did this for the Jews.
And successes, and so people funded as you go along.
Yes, successes and a proud and authentic depictions, things that they can celebrate. For the Jews, we continue to be vilified. We continue to be shown as nebbish. We continue to be shown going unorthodox. So we basically found out what the other groups do, and we started to do all the things they do. So one of the things they do is they go to Sundance to have representation panels. We've been there twice. They do studies to prove the bias. So we have a study coming out with the Norman Lear Center at USC measuring Jewish characters in U.S. scripted television shows from 21 to 22. They do showrunner training. So we've been developing a training that's going to teach the executive producers how to avoid the tropes and how to tell different stories. They've created fact sheets. We have a fact sheet that's now being used by Amazon, and we're hoping we're going to expand it to other studios. And last but not least, they do media awards, which brings us to this current moment right. And this current event. So the media awards are the GLAAD Image Awards. The NAACP Image Awards that are 55 years old, the GLAAD Media Awards that are 35 years old. And so now we are doing the Jewish Media Awards at Lincoln Center on November 12th.
Wow.
What that looks like is it's our all-star awards that people have known and loved for years. We've had 6 years of that. And then we added in a Lion of Israel award because we had to in this moment. We're recognizing Daniel Posner from Athletes for Israel,
right.
Not just standing for Israel himself, but creating a whole set of ambassadors standing with Israel. And then our Keter Shem Tov awards are highlighting different TV shows and films that not only are showing Jews in a proud and authentic way, but are elevating a Torah value in some way. So before each clip or film that we show, Foul to Jewish Matchmaking, Destination NBA with Ryan Terrell on Amazon, Sheryl Sandberg's film Screen Before Silence, we're putting a pusik on the screen to show this is how this is centered in a Torah value. And when we put this on the screen now, you're going to understand how Hollywood is advancing something that we care about. And that's really what our dream is. If we can now tell Hollywood what Jewish looks like to us, instead of all these years of a distorted view of Judaism. And by the way, it's not so different from the Macom journey. Our role in Macom is helping these people that grew up in these unhealthy and dysfunctional homes
right.
Separate the negative ideas around Judaism. A lot of Hollywood Jews grew up with a lot of negative ideas and distortions about Judaism, and we're here now to teach them a healthier and prouder version.
Your All-Star Awards include people like Jeff Ostroff, a Friends writer, Shifra Kolsky, is it? Chief Accounting Officer at Discover.
She's a Rebbetzin.
Seriously?
Yep.
Her husband's a rabbi.
Yep.
Where do they live?
They live in Chicago. They're flying in.
Sharon Mazel, is it? Mazel?
Mazel.
What to Expect When You're Expecting co-author. A lot of people in this audience probably have read that. Ari Sacker, who's primary engineer of Iron Dome. Mitchell Silk, former Assistant Secretary for International Markets at U.S. Treasury, has been a guest of ours here, and Professor Aaron Twersky, former Dean of Hofstra Law School. And as you said, these All-Stars was really the first step. Your first events were focused on this. Now you've broadened everything into include so many of the other avenues, including the Lion of Israel Award that Daniel Posner is receiving, because now you're so much more focused on what's happening in Israel. And I did notice that your entertainment committee and host committee will be filled with a lot of people who have been out there on social media advocating for Israel. You have some big names who have really without October 7th, a lot of these people wouldn't even be known. But they felt the responsibility to get out there and to use their platform to spread the truth over the last year.
There's just a small handful of people that are doing this, really. And I mean, their voices mean so much more. So some of the people that will be giving awards at the event are people like Emmanuel Shrieky from Entourage and the Zohan, Patricia Heaton, who, I mean, she's from Everybody Loves Raymond. She made a video. She's not Jewish. She made a video literally after October 7th saying, like, people always wonder, like, what they would do in the Holocaust. Like, now is our moment, and, like, I am here for you. And that was, like, bomb on, like, just an open wound, because we were all feeling terrified. Sure. And I was like, this is a righteous woman. Jonathan Lipnicki, he made his breakout film Jerry Maguire a bunch of years ago, Dawson's Creek, Stuart Little. What I love about Jonathan Lipnicki is that he got involved in this program in LA to walk people home from shul. He had heard that there was an increasing danger of Jews walking around on Shabbos.
In Los Angeles?
Los Angeles, yes, they were getting attacked. And so he joined this Shabbat Angels program and came to shul each week and walked people home so they should feel safe. So, I mean, this is like Menschlichkeit to another level. And we're so happy. And I've met so many wonderful people, you know, in this process. The way that the event is going to be structured is that there's a VIP pre-party and an intimate gathering with these VIPs and celebrities and honorees. We're flying in one of the stars from Fauda. Liza Ben Shalom from Jewish Matchmaking is flying in. We have the team from, Ryan Terrell's movie. So there's a VIP pre-party, you know, with a red carpet and Getty photography and all that fun stuff. The show is going to be super inspirational. People walk out of our shows in the last 2 years since Saul Blinkoff started producing them, telling us, I have no words to describe how I feel. This is the proudest I've ever felt to be Jewish in my life. And because we're under attack right now for our heritage, our people, and our land, our event is celebrating all three. So the All-Stars celebrate standing up for Jewish heritage in the workplace. They stand for Torah. They have to have those conversations about Kashrus and Shabbos and Yantif. When you're in such high-profile positions and from, those are unavoidable things, and they stand for Torah. Daniel Posner is helping the world stand with Israel. And the Keter Shem Tov Awards, these are people that are helping to restore the crown of the good name of the Jewish people and showing proud, authentic depictions so that we can start to see proud Jews on the screen and hopefully fill hearts around the world. 85% of the world consumes Hollywood content, and this is my crazy dream. Mashiach is supposed to come from Znus. Maybe Hollywood is the Znus that we were waiting for.
Wow.
With these diversity rules, if we can get them to apply to Jews too, we have the opportunity to change anti-Semitism into Kiddush Hashem.
The most impressive part of this conversation is that everything you just said, you know by heart. You don't need any notes to discuss anything about what's happening on November the 12th, which is pretty cool, frankly.
I know it pretty well by now.
The second Jewish Media Awards at Lincoln Center is being presented on Tuesday, November the 12th, the greatest night in Jewish representation. There is, as you heard, a VIP section to this event. In addition, obviously, there's a general admission section. All the information, how to donate, how to place your ads in the online journal, how to buy tickets, and how to buy VIP tickets are available at, should we give out the Jew in the City website?
So we have two, the regular JewInTheCity.com website, but then we built a new one for the Hollywood Bureau, JITCHollywoodBureau.org. And this Hollywood Bureau is for all Jews. When we originally launched it, was going to be Orthodox only. We immediately heard from Jewish creatives working in Hollywood saying, please broaden this. We also don't know how to stop the tropes of our community. And we also don't know how to get positive stories about our community greenlit.
Wow.
And so we made this.
The fact that they're aware of it is really...
And the vilification, look, Hollywood was founded on Jews trying to erase themselves.
Right.
Hollywood was founded on Jews escaping anti-Semitism.
And trying to be accepted, trying to bridge gaps.
Exactly, change their names, mock themselves before the non-Jews do.
Right.
And so this is 100 years of sort of negativity that we need to undo and basically retrain and fill with pride.
You said to me off the air before this conversation, I found interesting that there's a lot less coming out of Hollywood, that there's just less product. And I was wondering how that affects all of this that we're discussing this morning.
Yeah, so there's less product coming out of Hollywood because, first of all, COVID shut things down. Right. Then everybody had strikes that shut things down. Right. If you look at kind of all the big studios.
And stuff costs a lot of money.
Stuff costs a lot of money. You know, people made things that didn't do very well. You look at a lot of the studios, they're doing layoffs left and right. What that means is that it's definitely harder to get funding for an event like this. Look, every other media award that's out there for every other minority group, they are going to social responsibility budgets in big corporations. Those basically never include Jews because we have all the money and the power. But what ends up happening is that the one Jewish group that's doing this, it really is a struggle to find that funding. Jewish donors obviously are tapped out in Israel, as they should be.
Yep.
And so, look, Hashem has always come through in the end. And so this is really the Nachshon Ben Aminadav type of move of kind of like putting it out there and taking a bit of a big swing for Kiddush Hashem. God willing, it will all come through. But the road to getting there is not smooth sailing. All of the perceived power and money, not feeling that quite now, but thank God we're having wins, and we'll be celebrating on November 12th.
And frankly, other groups, and you don't have to comment on this because I don't think you want to comment out there from yourself regarding this, but the reality is that other groups have the ability and are in a position where they can really strong arm some of the companies out there in Hollywood to participate with them. And that's something that I don't think we're at that stage yet, it sounds like.
Nobody really cares about Jews. Like when we, you know, complained about something or, I mean, well, one of the films that we're honoring is Jews Don't Count by David Baddiel. He's a British comedian. He wrote a really important book called Jews Don't Count, basically giving language to explain how progressives have left Jews out of the conversation. I'm going to just even explain something now.
Sure.
It used to be minority. That's how we called minority groups. They have changed that language. It's now marginalized. Marginalized is to basically exclude Jews because, of course, Jews are a minority, but are Jews marginalized? No, Jews are everywhere. Jews have too much power. And so in the sort of changing of the language to marginalize, now Jews do become marginalized from marginalized groups.
How do they regard the Asian community?
Look, I think there are some places where, you know, it's in colleges, for instance, Jews and Asians kind of sit on the same side.
Right.
Within the representation world, you know, they are, you know, they're given a lot of attention. I mean, I'm sure every group thinks that they're not getting enough,
right?
But there's certainly a lot of efforts. There are several advocacy groups out there.
Well, I'm thinking of the Asian example only because it seems like a bit of a parallel. Also, the impression that they succeed financially, that they have an education level that others may not in this country, et cetera.
Right. So they, you know, the model minority sort of category is something that these fact sheets will talk about, kind of like, you know, countering that and showing Asians that don't always succeed and aren't always rich. So that's something that sort of Hollywood is aware of in right. terms of changing that storyline. But there certainly are efforts like Shang-Chi and Everybody Everywhere All at Once. There are some big films that have been made in recent years that, from what I hear, many Asian people are saying they're getting it better, they're getting it prouder, they're getting it more correctly. Actually, a fascinating thing about the Shang-Chi film, I was speaking to a Chinese producer, and I said to her, I loved this film because the character starts off as Sean. This is a Disney film.
Right.
And as he leans more into his Chinese heritage, he becomes Shang-Chi. He, you know, returns to his ancestral homeland, practices, you know, his martial arts, and he becomes a hero by becoming closer to his tradition. And she said, to be honest, we're so sick of all these Chinese people returning to Mother China. We want to see stories of assimilation. We want to finally become American. And I said, this is so fascinating because we would love to see a tshuva story in Hollywood. Every story about Jews is about assimilating and, you know, like Shmuel becoming Sam. And, you know, it's just interesting that different groups have different things that they're looking for and hoping for on screen. And I think, you know, there are certainly problems in the DEI space. One of the biggest complaints I get is DEI is, you know, highly problematic. And what are you doing here? And what I would say is that the equity piece is Marxist, and that's highly problematic. I think things need to be judged on their merit. Just that, like, you know, open a closed book.
Right.
Once the merit is judged, then an eye towards diversity and an eye towards inclusion is a really nice idea. And so the diversity and inclusion piece is really important for Jews because we're a different group and we need accommodations. And so if there is, you know, an atmosphere where Shabbos and Kashrus and Yontif and all those things can be accommodated, that's a really nice space to be. If there's an appreciation for diverse people and experiences, that's really helpful to us. The way that DEI has been set up so far, by and large, is in order to exclude Jews and label us white European oppressors. But we've been sort of changing that narrative by talking about the fact that we're an indigenous people that was exiled from our land and that we're a brown people. Look, I have tan skin. I have olive skin. My whole life, I've had to explain why I look like this. You're an Ashkenazi Jew.
Oh, we've discussed this before, right?
And I tell people, you need to say that Ashkenazi Jews are exiled to Europe, right, not European Jews.
Right.
I look how Judeans should look.
Right.
There was violence against our foremothers. Right. For
I'm going to take that personally, by the way. As one of the whitest Jews out there, I'm going to take that personally. But I hear what you're saying. Like I said, I think you actually brought that up, I think, the first time we ever spoke on the air. And by the way, and all that you just described is what they're applying now to Israel. In other
Correct.
Words, you know, the oppressor or, you know, too much power, et cetera, they've just moved that whole narrative
and
to the state
of Israel.
And by the way,
Israel, what we pointed out at our Sundance panel last year is that we're seeing the blood libel now put onto Israeli characters. This is something we want to study
right.
in our next study. So it used to be that the Mossad
boy.
Agent was the friendly, helpful,
Correct.
You know, sidekick. And the newer characters now, there was a show that had the Israeli mobster pour molten gold over his enemy. This was on Law and Order Organized Crime. There are shows now
their narratives are terrible, but that's a separate story.
There are shows now that are showing the Israeli characters more vicious, more bloodthirsty, and it's really seeing that blood libel being placed on the Israeli characters, and we need to study this so that we can point out this negative direction.
November the 12th, the second Jewish Media Awards at Lincoln Center. Search Jew in the City. I'm just saying that because it'll be the easiest for people who are listening right now. Jew in the City obviously has all of the information, but the actual website, JITCHollywoodBureau.org, JITCHollywoodBureau.org, and there you can find information about buying tickets for the event, being a VIP at the event, placing an ad in the online journal, and of course, participating in all of the before, during, and after programming that they have going on that night at Alice Tully Hall on the Upper West Side, Lincoln Center, New York City. Again, Jew in the City or JITCHollywoodBureau.org. And one thing I want to add, Allison Josephs, and that is that a lot, I shouldn't say a lot, because you'd probably argue correctly that a lot's the wrong term, but some of the negative portrayals of Jews and specifically Orthodox Jews in Hollywood
come from Jews.
Yeah. But not just Jews, meaning who are writing, etc., but people who decide to go on reality TV shows and have, you know, certain
bias, negative experiences.
Well, not just bias, but lifestyle exposed and completely misunderstood by the audience and presented by in whatever way the editors and those who, you know, produce the show want to present it. And that I consider to be irresponsible. I don't know what your feeling is on the matter.
Yeah, I mean, we need to have people understand that what people see on the big screen affects their opinions in real life. Impact studies show that media affects how people see things.
Sure.
So my biggest sort of pitch for why people should come, should give, should be involved is that this is the only form of media right now that has an actual way to fix it. Social media and news media are also problematic. There is no mechanism in place. What we are tapping into now with this Hollywood Bureau dynamic that we literally stumbled upon, i.e. Hashem sent us there, actually has a mechanism to make things better and prevent the negativity by using the same rules that everyone else says. I want to be seen as a whole human. I want to celebrate my identity. Everybody else is leaning in with pride. Everybody else is, you know, out and loud about who they are. And for Jews, we either mock ourselves, we hide ourselves, we apologize for ourselves. So we want that same sort of movement of pride and leaning into our heritage. And our dream is that if we show Jews that on the big screen, it's going to transfer over in real life.
Yeah. Let those words come true. Everybody go to the website, Jew in the City or JITCHollywoodBureau.org. Get your tickets for the second Jewish Media Awards at Lincoln Center for the night of November the 12th. Always a pleasure to have Allison Josephs. You could hear her at 10 a.m. with Peter Himmelman on Jew in the City Speaks here on the Nachum Segal Network. And I don't know how you do all of this. I alluded to this in our conversation before you went on the air. Just you have a lot on your plate, and you seem to get it all done, so kol hakavod to you.
I want a vacation after this is over.
But in all seriousness, We are tremendous fans, as you know, from the very first time we met, tremendous fans of your work. And the way you view it, that this work is so necessary and so vital to the community, is really the only way to handle it.
I don't know how much longer we have in the U.S., to be perfectly frank. My mother gave us a warning when we were children that we've run from every country.
Your mother said that to you?
We may need to run here, too. She was feeding us bacon cheeseburgers and also telling us that we may need to run one day. Her father survived a pogrom in Ukraine when he was 12. So what I will tell you is that I don't know how much longer we have here, because I think to believe that America is finally different, when they called Toledo because they thought they're going to be there for Toldos, and that they thought that Germany was the new Jerusalem. We've made this mistake in every place we've lived. So I don't know how much longer we have in this country, but my feeling is that we fight to the end.
Phenomenal. Thank you for that message. Always a pleasure. Good luck on the 12th of November.
Thanks so much.
Allison Joseph, she is the Jew in the city, as we know, joining us here on a Thursday morning broadcast at JM in the AM.